Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it's the most wonderful time. I can sit here on my piano and turn around here and just start playing that. But just Merry Christmas. And we're not going to do the Happy Holidays things because I want Christ to be in that greeting of hallelujah, that this is the time of the year that we're celebrating. But just welcome to my home. And we have an awesome program tonight, and we just now have all of our guests that's going to be with us that just logged in. So welcome to everybody, and you look very savvy, Bob, with your hat on. You look really good.
Well, thank you.
But as you look out the back window here, that's looking over the beautiful Texas Medical Center here at Houston, and I'm just looking to see how traffic was. It's so cold. Everybody's at home except those crazy people that are at Walmart and the shopping malls and the outlet malls trying to find, but I'll be one of those crazy people probably tomorrow because I still have presents to buy. But I tell you what, you know, as we look into the next few days going into Christmas, it's not about the presents. It's about your presence and just being there for people, being there with family and loving them, caring for them, letting them know how much you appreciate them and just sharing those moments that few times you ever get in the same room together, unless there's a wedding or a funeral, but hopefully at Thanksgiving and Christmas, you get to have everybody together. Don't overlook what family in your presence can be with each of them. Tell you what, we've had some wonderful shows the last couple of weeks, and tonight's going to be another one. Next week's another one. And, you know, we had Dave Pelzer, the author of The Child Called It, on a couple of weeks ago. We have kind of buddied up. And he's going to be on again in January. He's going to be on again in February. And we're going to just let him share and talk. I was, I believe, in an airport trying to interview him the other night. And we had a lot of background noise of people walking by with their luggage. But I wasn't about to say, hey, Dave, I'm sorry. I'm busy. I wanted to make sure I got him on. But we've kind of become friends. So he's going to be here in January and February. So looking forward to that. Next week, we have a personal story of somebody that I had met at a recent training. And she is going to share her heart, her story, her resilience, and how she wants to help change the world. And that's exactly what the new book that's getting ready to come out, Hope. Embracing Your Scars, How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. And that's what everything's all about. And I really want you to take just a second as we get ready to bring the guest in. How do you make an impact on this world? I was just watching Shark Tank just a few seconds ago before I turned it off to log on here. Is it about finding something that you can sell, make money, make a living? No, it's not about that. It's about something that's happened into your life that you can turn in to making a difference in other people's lives. So I just want to give you a few things, and I really want to see what our guests think about this tonight. And this is just off the cuff that I wrote down on a little piece of paper just a few seconds ago. First of all, I think we all know and need to wake up. What has happened to us in our world? in our existence. And it took me 35, almost 40 years before I ever figured out what was it that I really was created for. Was it really to just push papers at a hospital setting? Is that it? No. I needed to wake up to what I've experienced and then use what I went through and that journey to be able to grab people's hands, join people like we're doing tonight with a couple of awesome Texans, and say, hey, wait, we're all in this together. There's things that happen to us in our world. How can we change one person's life? And that's what I try to do each and every day. I wake up right there in that chair and I say, hey, God, number one, don't let me mess this up today. And two, let my existence impact and change one person. The entire world, I'll never have that kind of impact. I'm not a Dave Pelzer that has sold millions and millions, international bestseller. I've only sold 2.2 or 2.3 million books, but I don't even know if people read it. But anyway, I'm trying to make an impact of changing one person's life, one person at a time. Use what I know to help other people. You want to make this 2025 impactful for you? Just sit back, wake up, and take a deep breath and go, hey, what have I done? What have I experienced? What have I endured? What have I went through? What hell have I gone through? And what do I smell like after going through it? And how can I turn that most negative experience, that scar, into purpose for the rest of your life? And in my second book, I think the first sentence in that book is, could it possibly be that the worst possible thing that you've endured in your life is the very key to the doors that you can open up with it for the rest of your life? Absolutely. And when you find out and discover that you just didn't go through that by chance, you went that through and survived it by divine intervention to be able to impact and touch and change and help other people. And it will absolutely not only change your life, but it will change the lives of the people around you. And I think this world is looking for genuine, authentic people that want to care, that want to lean in to people instead of push away. Just lean in and say, what can I do for you? Are you okay? What's happened to you? How can I help you? And then never give up. Each and every day, decide to get up out of the chair, out of your bed, out of your car or whatever, and say, I'm not going to give up until I can touch that one person's life and make a difference in the world. And here's a couple of questions for you that I'll bring the guest in. If you don't, who will? If you don't do what these two gentlemen are going to talk about that they're passionate about this evening, if they don't, who will touch those kids? Who will touch those people? Who will touch those animals? Who will make a difference if they don't? That's a question you need to ask. Who's going to affect your community? Who's going to change the people around you if you don't act? And then ask the other question. What can you do with the stuff that you've gone through? A lot of people walk through stuff and then they try to shake it off their heels because they've stepped into it for the rest of their lives. What can you do with that experience of what you've endured? And then use that. And then how can you have your one life, yours, to be able to change other people? That's just the kind of thing that I was thinking about this year. And we're going to talk about probably more next week going into a new year, because this is a new time for us to get a vision and a purpose in our life. And just embrace. Don't ignore anymore. Embrace what you've gone through. and turn it into something positive. Because the devil wants you to just hold it in and say, oh, you're worthless. You're helpless. You're never going to help anybody. You're never going to change. You're not worthy of changing anybody. Put him where he needs to be and take the positive step to where you know you need to be. And God will use you in a wonderful, wonderful way. Okay, that didn't cost you anything tonight. Welcome to the program. We have two awesome guests tonight, and I just want to bring them in so everybody can see their beautiful faces. We have Landon Dickinson, which is executive director, and Robert, but he's a friend, Bob Williams now, because I've just met him for the first time, the founder and the CEO of Ranch Hands Rescue and Bob's House of Hope. If you want to, I can read their entire CVs and resumes, but I think what I want to do is just say, Bob, Landon, welcome to the program tonight. And we have about 45, 50 minutes of just getting to know each other. And I want you to share with the people around this world what it's all about that you do. Welcome to the program. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing great. How are you?
Well, I like your hat.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if I should wear it on. I was going to put my Christmas hat on because I have it in the truck, but I'm here at the safe house and I thought, well, I'll just take a few minutes and chill out and get ready for the show. I just want to tell you, Gregory, it's an honor. I we've never met, but I know of you. It's amazing to me what you've done. You're a role model for all of us. I can't thank you enough. I share the same faith you do. And I couldn't be more excited to be here tonight. And by the way, I think Landon is the president of your fan club.
Really? Well, yeah. Landon and I did have a chance to talk the other day about maybe some collaborations that we're going to be trying to do and meet some people. And I'm hoping to get to meet others. And next time I'm up in Dallas, I want to come by and meet you all. And
yes,
personally, it's amazing you have this show and you meet so many awesome people around the world. But to be able to meet them and put your arms around them and hug them sometimes doesn't happen. But we're close enough. We're just hop, skip, and jump. So we'll make it up there.
And I'm in Houston quite a bit. And I have, and I believe that God brings people together for a reason. There's no mistakes.
Well, that's great. And Landon, welcome. Thank you for getting in touch with me. And thank you for reaching out. And I appreciate what you do. And I can't wait to find out everything that you and Bob have your hands in. But tell me right up front, Landon and Bob, did any of this intro mean anything to you? And when did it happen in your own life of you say, hey, wait, I've gone through this. Now what? Now what?
Well, let me just tell you, you got me all fired up. Kindred spirits we are, I can tell you that. Well, it's been a long journey for me. You know, I'm also a survivor. I was raped at 17. And when my dad picked me up from the hospital, I was in the hospital for 10 days. He raped me and he beat me to a pulp. And my dad was retired military. And he said, you're just going to man up and we're never, ever going to talk about this again. It was a different time back then. You know, my dad was married to my mother for 58 years. Very strong man of faith. And until he died, we never knew that he was awarded the Bronze Star and he had another 24 or 25 medals in there. He had never even told her. And that was a different generation. I couldn't process what had happened to me. I was going into my senior year of high school. It was a horrific time. Nobody knew what to do to help me. And I turned to drugs and alcohol. I barely graduated high school. I was homeless by the time I was 20. I struggled with my drug and alcohol addiction for 12 years. I finally got clean and sober at 29, and I will have my 38th anniversary on January 14th of being clean and sober.
Amen.
Thank you. But I tell everybody I'm one of the lucky ones because, you know, I was getting clean and sober. I was doing every lousy job. There's no question I lost my faith because I couldn't understand why God would let something like that happen to me. And, you know, Bob's House of Hope is the first safe house in the country for young men that have been sex trafficked. And we just issued a press release that we're going to open for minors next year.
Oh.
I think the thing, the pain, you know what I mean, that I've been through, that you've been through, that others have been through, our trauma is all the same, you know what I mean, when it comes to the trauma background. But you reach a point in your life where you say, what are you going to do with it? I got clean and sober, but I wasn't mentally healthy. And it took me 10 years to go to the Meadows, right, where I really got the help that I needed to deal with my rape. And it was like somebody had lifted 10,000 pounds of pressure off of me. Now, back in those days, nobody wanted to hire you. You know what I mean? Because I didn't have a college degree. And it was a miracle that I got hired by Motorola. You can probably see all my Motorola stuff behind me. But I got hired when the cell phones were in briefcases. And it was a commission job. And if you didn't sell, you didn't eat. And they gave you a little bit of money for gas, and that was it. And boy, I got to tell you, I was hungry. And I became the number one sales guy in the country. So Motorola promoted me to sales manager. And then they said, you know, if you want to rise through the ranks, you got to get back in school. So Motorola put me through back into school, and I was promoted several times, and I had a great life. But what I realized was in 2007, and I don't say this to sound pretentious, but my closest friend for years, because she heard me speak in an event in LA, was Doris Roberts. And Doris was most famously known for being the mom on the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond. And Doris and I, we just became fast friends, even though she was 40 years older than me. We had a lot in common. I'm not telling you anything out of context because it's all in her book. But Doris was also a survivor. She was sexually abused by her uncle for years. And we helped each other and we talked. And I knew everything about her and she knew everything about me. And we traveled together and she vacationed with me here in Dallas and I vacationed with her. And the one thing with all of us is that it helps to talk about it. It helps to unburden yourself because you can help others. But in 2007, I was actually visiting her and I had a stroke. I woke up and I thought I had a pinched nerve from the bed I was sleeping in. And she called her doctor and he brought me in and he said, I think you're having a stroke. And they got me into the medical center and I got that stroke medicine. And it saved my life. I still have trouble with names and numbers, but for the most part, I'm pretty good. But one of the things that I'll never forget is when the neurosurgeon came in, the first thing he said to me was, what's your history of drug and alcohol abuse? They saw it on my brain. All right. And that was a wake-up call for me. And I decided then that I was going to retire from Motorola because I didn't want to be stuck somewhere around the world and have this happen to me. And I said, I'm going to do something good with the rest of my life. And I have no doubt that what happened to me then was God's way of preparing me for the work that I've been doing the last 15 years.
That's great. And that's how long Bob's House of Hope has been established, 15 years.
No, actually, we opened in 2021. What happened was when I retired, I didn't have anything to do. So you go from, as you know, this fast-paced job to where all of a sudden you have nothing to do. And I got bored easy. So I've always been an avid reader and other things, but I started saving animals by accident. And when I w was looking at these special needs animals, they kind of reminded me of myself. And so our old sheriff here, he passed away, but his name was Benny Parkey. Benny taught me everything I needed to know about animal cruelty and special needs animals. And in those days, they would take these special needs animals that had been hurt and they would just euthanize them because the cost to make them healthy or to take care of them was just too much money. And as I said, Doris and I, we talked every day. Even when she was on the set of Everybody Loves Raymond, she'd call me. And so I had told her, I said, you know, I'm saving these animals and they're having this impact on me. And she said, well, Bob, why don't you start a public charity? And I'll help you. I'll help you raise money. And she did. She helped us raise millions of dollars. And matter of fact, Dor I'll tell you a quick story. Doris would never even pay her own flight here, okay? Even when she was coming in for events, she would say, you put that money to help the animals and the kids, and I'll pay my own way. But what happened was, I knew that there was some kind of a connection with the animals. So we formed a public charities and we formed a board and a corporation, got our public charity status in 2009, and we were off and running with a farm animal sanctuary for special needs animals. And at the time, I only wanted to take animals that have been seized for abuse and neglect, because what I learned was from law enforcement, it's a gateway crime. So if in fact somebody is abusing animals, there's probably something else going on. And for everybody's knowledge here that's watching, the every serial murderer that ever serial murdered started off abusing animals. And so, but I want to do more than that. And I told Doris, I also want to help people, but I didn't have any idea how to do that. So I started to research the power of mental health therapy, and animals that have been abused and neglected. And guess what? There wasn't one piece of data in the entire world on it. As a matter of fact, Landon's the first to collect it and to validate it with universities that he's partnering with around the country. But what happened was, everybody told me it wouldn't work. Well, you know what? Everybody told me that my whole life. I'd never be clean and sober. I'd never amount to anything. You know, I don't know. God made us all pure and beautiful. It took me a long time to realize that. And it took me a long time. The one thing that I learned from Doris was Doris had a motto. And her motto was, I don't give in, I don't give up, I don't take no for an answer, and I never ever settle. And that resonated with me throughout my whole Motorola career. It resonated with me in life. It resonated with me here, because everybody's always trying to tell you what you can't do. And my strength is providing solutions. You know what I mean? Because I believe there's a solution for every problem. And so, I finally found a counselor who'd work with me. She was working with kids that have been sexually abused with healthy horses. And I said, will you meet with me? Because I think there's something here. And she said, I'm happy to meet with you. So she met with me. I went through my whole life story with her, you know, in and out of rehab, being on the streets, the whole nine yards. And she said, I got to tell you, you're a great guy, but it's not going to work. You cannot use abused and neglected animals in mental health therapy. It has to be healthy animals. And I said, okay. The one thing I learned from Doris was just keep going, right? And so I kept calling her. And finally, one day she said, all right, I'll bring a couple of kiddos up there and I'll try it. And just to prove you're wrong. And I said, okay. And she called me up and said, let's have breakfast. And I said, she said, Bob, I got to tell you something. I think you're onto something here. I have a little girl who hasn't spoken in 3 months. And in her second session, she started to tell the horse what happened to her. And I said, that's the magic of it. That's what I'm talking about with this bond. Most people think in our counseling program that the child or the individual picks the animal. It's the opposite. The animal senses the hurt and the pain. All right. And so we developed this program. I took it to the children's advocacy centers. And the executive director looked at it and said, I got to tell you something. This is the greatest thing sliced bread since sliced bread. And I said, great. Can we do a pilot program? And he looked at me and he said, no. I got 21 counselors. I don't need you. I just think you're going to help a lot of people. And I looked at him and said, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. And I said, can you save every child? And he thought for a minute and I said, no. And I said, then where did they go? And he said, you got a point. And that was the start of our pilot program in 2010. And it was designed for the 1 to 10%, primarily children who have been sexually abused, that need a different or more alternative approach to mental health. And today we have 28 partner agencies that we work with in an effort to provide those free services for that segment of the population that just does not respond well, to traditional counseling. And then God brought me Landon as a counselor years ago. He's been promoted many times over the years, and now he's chief operating officer. But he ran the clinical program for years, and he's one of the best clinicians I've ever met in the country. I always looked at people and said, if I relapse tomorrow, or if I needed help with my trauma, who would I turn to? And that's the guy right there. I mean, he knows it inside out, backwards, forwards, and he can do it in his sleep. And just one of the best young men I've ever met in my life, and a role model to these kids. What happened here in Texas, and then Landon, I promise I'm going to turn this over to you. What happened here in Texas was our governor wanted to understand if there was a problem with boys, excuse me, being sex trafficked in Texas. Because as you know, the border, all the major highways that go north, it's a hub. And I apologize. And so he put together a task force of individuals made up of law enforcement, and there was only a couple of NGOs in there. I was one because we had several sex trafficking victims in our program, and one was a 15-year-old boy. And so they invited me in to give my perspective. Well, as we started going through things, number one, we realized the lack of data. And number two, we realized the problem was huge. And the reason that we knew it was big was not because there was a lot of data. It was because when you look at the sting numbers of people trying to buy children, at least 40% were made up of people trying to buy boys. And so when I found out that there was not one safe house in the country for young men like me, because I was one of them, I decided we can fix that. So on the animal side, the first special needs sanctuary ever for just special needs animals. On the counseling side, the first ever counseling program in the country to partner abuse and neglect in animals and mental health therapy. And now Bob's House of Hope, the first ever safe house program in the country for young men that have been sex trafficked, and in June of 2025 to also include minors. And so, Gregory, when you talked about God putting you where you need to be and faith, the thing that saved my life was God. I don't understand even today why I'm still alive. And what I mean by that was the things that I went through, especially being homeless. I know what it's like to be sold. I know what it's like to be passed around. I know what it's like to be an addict. And I believe with all my heart that we can help these young men. I think it's our moral obligation to help as many people as we can. And that's why Ranch is our animal sanctuary, Hands is our counseling program, and Rescue, now the first safe house in the country for young men. Excuse
Wow,
me.
I tell you what, Bob, that is powerful, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm excited, and I'm what I'm really hoping on the other side of this commercial break, we're going to bring Landon in now, and Landon will let you we'll find the world will find out what your voice sounds like.
And
And
can I just add one thing?
yeah,
When
go
I
ahead.
read about you and the ACEs study and health and all that, oh, did it hit home for me? And I got to tell you, Landon will tell you, I've been so excited about this, I couldn't sleep. All right, finally meeting you and being able to chat with you.
Well, I tell you, I want to do lunch and coffee and just get to know you more and partner up and help you get the word out because the word's out already. But I'm hoping there's people that's watching tonight that catch the fire, catch the vision, and will make this their primary mission of helping other people. And the best way to help, we'll find out about that here in a minute. The best way to help y'all is to help with funds and
Right.
volunteer and pray and lift up and support. And like I back to that original question, if we don't, who will? Yeah, you have sponsors, but this is such a huge problem, not only in Texas, but in our country and in our world. And you guys are making an impact. So I applaud you all being champions in
Thank
such an
you.
awesome way.
Thank you.
Landed on the other side of this, I want to find out what's your part in this, what kind of passion you have, how the people that you deal with are affected and helped. And I want to find out more about what the future of this looks like in 2025, bringing minors in, because that is absolutely huge. So I applaud that. So we're going to take a short commercial break. If anybody wants to get involved, you can do that several different ways. I'd normally tell them, but let me just give out the toll-free number, 888 627-6008. Call, and you can talk to Bob and Landon right tonight with a comment or a question, and share your story or whatever it is. But call tonight. You're not alone. We'll be right back after this very, very short commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
All right, welcome back. 888-627-6008. If you want to call right into the BBS radio station, you can have a comment or a question with our guest tonight. We have Bob Williams, which is the founder and CEO, and Landon Dixon, which is now the COO, which sounds very impressive, of Bob's House of Hope and Ranch Hands Rescue. So, Landon, tell me what your part is in this, what you think about all this, what just caused you to wake up with something in your heart to say, hey, I want to make a difference?
That's a great question. Thank you, first of all, so much for having me on. It is a huge,
it's my honor,
tremendous honor, seriously. Thank you. And everything that you said at the intro, like, honestly, it made me tear up, because what I've been reflecting on in 2024 is, ownership. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm just Landon. There's only so much I can do as just me. And I'm not special, unique, you know, unusual in any sense. I'm just a man, right? I'm just a man led to help. And what's occurred to me, though, is I'm here. There isn't somebody else. I'm here. And it's my responsibility to do something about it, to do something with the gifts that I've been given, right? With the inspiration, with the purpose, with the drive that God has graced me with. And so there's something to be said for, if you're there, then you need to step up and do something, even if it's not, no matter what it is, right? Everybody has different levels of capability, and we all have the capacity to be there for somebody else. And that's what I try to do for these guys to the best of my ability, for these animals, for these clients, for my staff, for the friends and the family in my life. Is just, you know, it doesn't take much to be nice. It really doesn't. And so being kind to others and trying to build safety, which leads to trust and then to connection, to me, that's how we all recover together. And not giving up, what you said about turning your own pain into purpose, it really resonated with me, because that is something I've done. I haven't been through what you and Bob have been through, but I have my own trauma experiences, and I've been down that deep, dark hole of suicidal thoughts and, you know, everything that comes with it. And so I know what it's like to be given a second chance and to want to make the most of it. And that's what I'm trying to do here. And so one of the things that I just wanted to share that has been the most transformative for me, in addition to just the wonderful mission and vision of Ranch Hands Rescue, because I mean, what more can you ask for? People helping animals, animals helping people. It's like, come on, that's perfect. But also the not giving up. Bob's drive of there's a solution to every problem, that really resonated with me even during a time when I couldn't quite see it within myself, when he could and I couldn't. And so over the years, that has driven me. And what I have found is the cases, that 1 to 10% that Bob's talking about that have not made progress in other programs, 9 times out of 10, it's in addition to the animals and that magic, which I'm happy to talk about, it's the fact that we don't give up. Like, yeah, they make mistakes. Yes, they relapse. Yes, they stumble. They do the wrong thing. I mean, of course, they've been taught and experienced so much horror. How can you expect anything less? And so instead of just going, well, you're not following the protocols, or you're not doing what you're supposed to, or whatever, bye, I just stick with it. I give them the space to make those mistakes and not give up on them, even when they want to give up on themselves. And it's amazing to me how many people can come out the other side if you just don't give up. And I'm really not able to do a whole lot more than anybody else. It's just that I don't give up. I just keep at it. And if they'll meet me even 25% of the way, then I know I can help. And then once they get to the point where it's 100-100, man, we're off and running. And I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of sunsets, but there's nothing more beautiful to me than somebody internalizing that belief in themselves that it's not their fault, that they have worth, that they have value. When you see that happen in somebody's eyes, oh man, it's the coolest thing to be a part of. It really is. So I love what you're saying. I'm here with you 100%. Thank you again for having me, and hopefully that kind of answers where my passion is in this.
With Bob's House of Hope, is it exclusively for men and boys?
Mostly, that is the primary focus because there hasn't been one in the whole country, right?
Why is
There's
that?
still
Give
the
me
only one.
your wisdom on this, guys. Why are we overlooking men and boys in this world?
A great question. I think a lot of it has to do with stigma and expectations of males. We think, a lot of people think, oh, they can go get a job, they can go to the military, they can do this, they can do that, they can get away, or they've chosen it. And that's not true. The issue is our misperceptions of males, we apply them in even to children. And it's like, no, a child is vulnerable. A child does not have the ability to just get away. And a lot of these guys, that's when it started. Was from childhood. I mean, oftentimes even from birth. And so when trauma is being experienced at those formative ages, it doesn't matter what your gender is, your sexual orientation, your racial identity, trauma affects all mammals very similarly. We just happen to have a lot of cognitive conceptual stuff around it. But at the end of the day, the impact on the nervous system is the same. So if trauma is going to impact animals, adults, children, I mean, we got to address that, and we got to recognize that it doesn't matter who you are, you need help to get through that kind of trauma, because it becomes about the trauma, not about the individual or the societal expectations.
Bob?
Bob, you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry. Landa knows I have to mute so I don't interrupt. But anyways, yeah, and my take is, I mean, people are buying boys. I mean, that's the reality of it. They don't want to talk about it. The myth is boys can get away. But the real reality here is that these boys are controlled by drugs. And there's fentanyl in everything today. And so that's how they get them to bring the money back. You know, they give them enough drugs to last 6 or 8 hours. And so you have to ask yourself, why is there not any national news media about this? Why aren't people talking about it, right? And so there's this big push now. You know, we did billboards, a 70-city billboard in a campaign in Texas that boys are sex trafficked to. We also did it in Atlanta. We also did it in LA, but we also did it in Times Square. And I asked Landon to go to Times Square to hold a huge press conference to let the world know about boys being sex trafficked. Do you know not one media outlet showed up? Not one. Okay. And so again, the myth is boys can get away. It doesn't happen to boys. We don't want to talk about it. But the bigger picture than that, right? And as a doctor, you're aware. You know, I got a call from a friend of mine who's a pediatrician a couple of months ago, and he said, I just went through my human trafficking certification, and there wasn't anything in there about boys. Why not? You know, I met with Director McGraw. Director McGraw just retired. He was the director of DPS here in Texas. And I asked him specifically about boys. And he said, I'm going to connect you to my deputy. And why don't you go through law enforcement training? And I said, well, I'm too old for law enforcement training, but I got a guy, and his name is Landon. And he's young and hip, and he can go through law enforcement training. And Landon went through law enforcement training. And he made like 8 pages of recommendations to the state police. Now, these guys are the best in the world.
Yes, sir.
They train all over the world. And I mean, this is the Texas Rangers, and they train every new police officer that comes in. And they incorporated his training into their training. And not only were they impressed with him, so they were so impressed, they invited him back to go through field training, where he then made those recommendations to him. And we've all become friends now. And so this types of training has to be modified for teachers. Do you know, and this is probably not going to surprise you, but there are hospitals that do not know how to do a SANE exam. I call it a rape kit because that's what it is, but a SANE exam, for to be politically correct, which I'm not very good at, but Landon is. Anyways, they don't know how to perform on a boy. Landon got a phone call at 11:30 at night from a hospital in Houston where a boy was saved, and they didn't know how to do a SANE exam on him. So there's so much that we need to educate the public about. The other thing, Gregory, is what we're seeing in the young men, and I don't think it's going to be any different in the minor, in the minors, is this huge issue with torture, where these boys are tortured, right? And it's not sex and torture. It's that this underground sick network of people want to pay for these boys to hurt them, to torture them. And obviously, there's something mental, right, that they're getting off on. But at the end of the day, it's horrific. You combine that with most of the sex, I'd say 50% of the sex trafficking victims, Landon probably knows the exact number, have also been labor trafficked in terms of the young men. And so you have a huge issue there. People think it's a GLBTQ issue, and it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they're gay, trans, straight, whatever the issue is, black, white, Latino. A victim is a victim is a victim, and they're hurting the same way that we were. And we need to help as many of them as we can. But the reality is, yes, these kids are confused about their sexuality when they come in. I mean, they've been sold, right? How many times a day to men? And so, but as they work through their trauma, 75, 80% of them identify as straight. And so it's not just that type of an issue, all right? They're forced to do horrific things. And then, regardless of how they identify, we're trying to lift that shame and guilt and all that pain, in an effort to help them heal. And that is a very long process, right? Once we really get into that. And by the way, there's several that animals are brought into the trafficking as well, all right? So there is a tremendous amount of evil out there. A priest told me one time, if you think for 1 minute that the devil does not have an office set up from Billy, across the hall from Billy Graham or from the Pope, you're wrong. Because anytime you try to do God's work, they're going to try to intervene. And so when you're dealing with this very sick segment of the society that wants to buy our children, whether it be boys or girls, all right, it's all horrific. It's a very, very evil, evil time, evil people.
Well, I think you're right. And when people, even the upper echelon of our society that have the money to fly over to another part of the world in the Philippines and buy it on the street, these boys, if they can't get it here, or if they can come up with a way to get it here, come up with an organization or systems to be able to do it, that's when, hey, I don't have to fly all the way over there. I can just go down the street. And it is so prevalent that I don't even think we've touched the tip of the iceberg. And there is a layer with men and boys that women don't deal with, even though they're going through horrific trauma and abuse too, and mental, emotional anxiety. But there's that extra layer that is on it for men and boys that you question, and Bob, you probably did too. What am I? What do I do with this? I can't share this. Nobody will like me. Nobody will trust me. Nobody will respect me. And then we bury ourselves, and it becomes a cancer that eats at our very soul.
So I didn't talk about it for 10 years,
Yeah, it took me 35.
yeah, I know. And when I knew that I wasn't mentally healthy, because when you have to sleep with the lights on. So, I was sound asleep when I was raped. All right. I was so afraid to close my eyes and go to sleep at night. All right. That fear, all right, drove me for years. And then when you have to get up 25 times a night and make sure that the door is chained and locked, that the windows are locked, when you have to sleep with all the lights on, that's not normal. And that's when I went to the Meadows and really got the trauma help that I needed and was able to talk about what happened to me. And it was like somebody had lifted 10,000 pounds of pressure off my shoulders. And I've been back several times. I'll tell you a story that I know you can relate to. I had to speak to a military group, and there was about 1,000 people there. And I thought, geez, what do they want me to come in for? You know what I mean? I'm nobody, and tell my story. And these are men and women that are heroes, right? And I'm not a hero. I mean, the military would have never took me. And after I got done speaking, there was a line, seriously, of a couple hundred people that wanted to meet me. I was so moved, all right. But I had 15 men that said to me, "This happened to me as a child, and I never told anybody." And I had three tell me that they were sexually abused in the military,
Yes.
and that my story, right, gave them the courage to now get the help that they needed. And my
Yeah.
message to everybody is, there is help available, all right? There doesn't have to be a stigma to this unless we put it on it, all right? And and with Landon, it's important, Gregory. I'm very proud of Ranch Hands Rescue. We're going into our 16th year. I built the animal sanctuary, and I built this very successful counseling program. But the safe house we've built together. And we opened it together, we designed it together, and we've grown it together. And it's nice for the old guy like me to be able to turn it over to the young guy, right? And watch, when you were talking about legacy, Doris and I used to say, "What do you want written on your tombstone?" She said, "I don't want it written on my tombstone. I was worth 25 million, And we talked about that. I just want people to say, there goes a guy that tried to help as many people as he can,
Yeah.
as he could throughout his life, and to help as many as I can. So I'm very proud of what we've developed here. But I think it's important, Landon, that you share with Gregory and with the audience the clinical challenges that we face and our strategy in terms of how we help them, because I think it's important. And by the way, layman's terms, please.
Understood.
The
Agreed.
doctor will understand you, but I'm not sure about everybody.
Those are big words.
I appreciate the introduction and tee up. No, I'm glad we're saving space for that because I do think it's critically important because, building on what Bob said, the Meadows is where he really got his help, and they are I mean, they're the preeminent, right, when it comes to trauma recovery work. And so what we did as we looked at this was let's put ourselves in their shoes, right? If you're 18, 19 years old, you've been sexually abused, physically abused most of your life. Your trauma started very young, but now as a teenager, you found a way to make money while still experiencing something you've gotten used to. You don't like it, but you got used to it. But you can now make money. You can access the drugs. You can feel independent, all those things. Well, if you're coming into a safe home with a guy that doesn't look like you, doesn't sound like you, and that's telling you, I'm going to take care of all these things, well, guess what? That sounds a bit like a trafficker. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do all these things for you. So we're like, our thought was, okay, whatever we say we're going to do, we have to do it quickly. So what we did was we designed a total wraparound care program with immediate access to medical, dental, legal, psychiatric, mental health, mentorship, education, English as a second language where it's needed, vocational skills, mentorship, and spiritual. We incorporated all of it. And when I say quickly, I mean within the first 72 hours, they're accessing those kinds of services. because we can't wait 3 months for just a consultation or 3 months to get the medication that they need. We have to do it quickly because if we don't, one, that trust starts to erode because they're starting to think, okay, when's the shoe going to drop? Right? One. And then two, when you are now having cravings and pain and mental anguish and emotional anguish and spiritual anguish, if somebody's not helping you address those things, then of course you're going to go back to the only thing you've ever known, which is the drugs. That's the only thing that's ever taken it away. Even if it's just temporary and even if it's destructive, it works for that period of time. And so our philosophy is we have to meet them where they're at, and we have to show them with repetition in our actions, not just our words, what safety looks like, how to develop trust both externally and internally, and then how to connect with others and with yourself, because that's what leads to recovery. And that's also where the animals are a huge help in that, but also the culture that we've built within the organization and the way that we address those needs quickly and on an individualized basis. Because again, if you don't do that, we're going to lose them. And our thought was, there's nowhere else for them to go. If we can't help them, they got three options: back to the streets, ultimately jail or prison, or the morgue. That's it. Those are their three options if we can't help them or somebody like us can't. And since we're the only ones in the country, we're like, we got to find a way for them to be able to make those mistakes, like I mentioned earlier, and not be kicked out. So the last thing I'll say on that note is we developed a stages system that mirrors the developmental stages of childhood and adolescence. And so as they graduate stages and levels within our program, the goal is by the time they reach graduation, their emotional developmental age matches their chronological age. And a lot of that comes down to just not giving up and letting natural consequences take their toll, so to speak. I'll give you a good example. One of our guys, the way that he and his friends settled conflict was a knife fight. That's how they did it. Whoever won the knife fight, that's who won the argument. And I was like, okay, not the healthiest way to resolve things. So let's teach you how to use your words. But that first couple of months, he's very angry, right? And so one of the things he did was he punched a hole in the wall. And I was like, okay, that's all right. Now you're going to learn drywall repair. So now he knows how to repair drywall, but also he's learned there's a better way to get my needs met than throwing, punching, hitting, you know? And so it really ends up being this beautiful transition from the way things were to the way things can be. And that's really the heart of the program.
Well, I
Yeah,
tell
I
you,
have.
I want to go ahead and ask, can we do another program in a couple of weeks? I want to get you
Sure.
guys back on because I hadn't even scratched the surface. Go ahead, Bob. I think you're
Oh,
going to listen.
I would love it.
Me too.
These boys, when they come in, they know how to lie, cheat, steal, fight, and manipulate. But there is goodness with them. And
Yep.
I really believe that we have to teach them that in everything we do, God is present.
Yes.
And so the challenge is, but when I say there's goodness in them, I mean it. It's just that they don't know how to be good. You know what I mean? Because everybody is taken from them, taken from them. The average educational age is 7th grade. So we got to get them involved in their GEDs, get them their GEDs. We have a complete case management group. So we're working with over 120, 125 around the country right now that need services and housing. And we have a case management team to connect them to services and that sort of thing, so that as we expand our housing, we can bring more young men in. I tell people all the time when people see me coming, they run the other way because I always got my hand out. But it's not for me, it's for those we serve. We rely on donations, all right? We need our church partners. We need people. The most important thing people can do is pray for us.
Yeah.
And there's not everybody that can. We need advocates in other cities around the state to go out and become ambassadors for us and talk to Rotary clubs and chambers and church groups and others, and we'll teach them and educate them about how severe this issue is, but to bring education and awareness to people around the country. So there's a lot of things we need. But at the end of the day, to see them giggle, to see the way they take care of each other. I mean, it's a family. And we teach them how to take care of each other and to stick up for each other. Landon's got a beautiful story to share with you about one of the trans kids, and one of the straight boys. Why don't you share that? Because it really is moving. I mean, it shows you that what we're doing works.
Yeah, we
And
got about a minute, Lane. So go ahead.
okay.
I was going
And
to say, I want to check in with Dr. Williams on the time and if
go
there are
ahead
questions
and
as
if you can
well.
do it in a quick nutshell.
Okay. So, very homophobic young man where he comes from, very anti-LGBTQ entirely, right? Well, one of the guys is kind of exploring, his identity and all that and wanted to buy a purse. And so he was really nervous about people seeing him being interested in a purse and judging him. And so this guy that formerly very homophobic, very anti-LGBTQ, just came alongside him and said, "Man, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what those people say. If you like it, go buy it. I'll buy it with you." And he just walked right alongside him in front of people and everything, and no issue. It was like, that's transformative, right? That's acceptance from hatred to love. That's, man, that's what it's about.
That's what it's all about. If somebody wants to get involved or find out more about you, how they can play a part in this, how can they best pray? How can they best support? How can they best give? How can they, what's the best way for them to get right to y'all?
They can go to ranchhandsrescue.org or bobshouseofhope.org, and they can send an email to info@ranchhandsrescue.org. It's right there. Get a hold of us or get involved, and it'll come straight to me.
Fantastic. And I know you'll respond. And guys, I cannot say thank you enough for who you are, what you're
Thank you.
doing, what you're fixing to do, and how you give God glory in the middle of it. That is the absolute perfect combination and partnership. And I applaud you for what you're doing for our men and boys in
Thank
our
you.
country. Thank you.
Thank you for the
Appreciate the great deal
opportunity.
coming from you.
Yeah, I'd love to have you come back and we will do that here. I will pull out my calendar in the morning and be emailing both of you to say, hey, let's get you back on because I didn't even scratch the surface of what you all do.
We're
And
ready.
okay, let's
Sounds
do it.
great to
And I
me.
want to be part of this. I got to be. I want to.
Thank
Thank
you.
you
An
guys
honor.
so much for being with us tonight. Merry Christmas to y'all.
And to
Merry
you, and
Christmas.
God bless you.
God bless you and your work.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
For thanks for being champions, as we
Thank
do
you.
each and every week. You get to see the most awesome people in our country, the most awesome people that have ever been created. It's gone through absolute worst scenarios, and they've come out with the desire, the passion, the calling to make a difference. So as we close each and every week, as we go into Christmas coming up in a few days, I want to let you know, in the middle of the darkest part of our history, Jesus Christ was born. He's shown that light in the darkness. There's always hope, and there's hope for you this Christmas season, just as impactful as what that hope of that Christ child gave to our world. He can give it to you tonight. You're never alone. If you want to call me, text me 832-396-6525. I'd love to be able to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Be with us next week. And in a few weeks, we're going to have these gentlemen back and reach out to them, help them, give them something to help their work a little easier to make an impact on our world. Thank you all. God bless. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.